ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Ukuhamba imali.
Wizi nakayithoka challenge.
Awuna moto, imali. Kufanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Sebenza. Sebenza.
Yeva mntanam.
Sebenza.
Welcome once again to another amazing episode of Sebenza Lives Behind the Hustle. Dorozo M, how are you doing?
I'm awesome today. Like, I'm so great.
You're extremely excited.
You should know me. Like, it takes a long time for someone to actually influence me or like be part of my life and just be my role model. So today is like one of the most exciting moments that I can ever have.
Fitting with choosing someone exciting, whether you know him for his dancing or you know him for his marketing, as he laughs at it. We are joined by Sylvester Chauke today. How are you doing, Sylvester?
I'm doing good. It's a good day today. It's really great to be here.
Now, for those who don't know, and I know it's such an arbitrary question to ask, those who don't possibly know, and were born under a rock yesterday, who is Sylvester Chauke and what does he do?
That's always a big question. Who is Sylvester Chauke? Currently, I'm the founder and chief of DNA Brand Architects, a marketing and brand agency in Johannesburg and in Cape Town. Mm-hmm. On the other side, I'm a crazy cool marketer extraordinaire, lover of Madonna.
I'm sure you were celebrating this week, wasn't you?
I was actually celebrating this week. I did enjoy the music video. I'm not quite sure about the song. Mm. I really am not quite sure about the song. I was a little bit sad, actually, because I thought, you know, the song could be a little bit hotter. But I love creative ideas. I love, you know, creating things from nothing. I love people that are in the creative space that are charting new territories. I love challengers that are wanting to make things different around us. So generally, highly creative, highly interested in things that are about changing the narrative for what young black people can do. Yeah.
Now, it's quite difficult, you know, as someone young, when you go, okay, this is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to be in marketing. Your parents are going to go, oh, really?
Yeah, because everybody's like doing marketing.
So what does Sylvester do day-to-day, on a day-to-day basis? What is your sort of responsibility?
Interesting thought about what generally family think when you say you're going to study marketing or PR or advertising, because it is non-traditional, right? And I think that that's very, very true. But the truth is that initially, you know, growing up from primary school into high school, I actually wanted to be many things: a teacher, a dancer, a journalist, a lawyer, you know, whatever that was on TV, I wanted to become. Well, you know, what I liked.
A slasher.
You know, a slasher, totally. And it changed depending on how I was feeling. But it only really took some time to realize that there is this career called marketing and brand communication. So I didn't know about it. I just found myself actually in a space where I was shooting a TV ad and I was like, okay, this is interesting. What is this for? And that really, you know, led me to the interest in marketing and advertising, understanding that that was what it was. So the point I'm trying to raise is that there's definitely something to be said for career opportunities into the future. They're very different to what they used to be in the past. So we're not all going to be doctors and lawyers and and nurses and that. And there's so many different careers in the creative world, and that require a very different skill set. So the importance of just being woke and realizing, looking at what you love and being interested in things, who knows, might lead you to become one of an interesting creative scientist of the future.
I'm glad you mentioned woke in a way. How has the industry changed over time? I mean, you've been in the industry since, I think, 2006.
I've been in the industry I started when I was 18 years old. I actually did my internship. So it's been over 21 years. And the industry is an incredibly slow changing industry. It's highly untransformed. And it's not really moving as much.
What do you think makes that sort of that sort of stuck?
Ownership. It's ownership. It's that it's sort of the industry sort of belongs to a very select few people and few companies. And as a result of it, they almost have become the owners of the industry, so to speak, and they guard the gates very carefully. So to play in that category, in that industry, you always know that you're fighting against the grain pretty much every single day. Mm. And when you, particularly when you're coming in as a black entrepreneur who is going to be getting into the space that is so highly untransformed, it's not an easy place. So it has not transformed as much. When I was an intern, they should talk about transformation and all of that. And 20 years in, we're still talking about it like it's still as fresh as ever. There isn't enough being done, and we need to be the ones that are doing something about it.
Mm. Wow. Especially when people are calling themselves like influencers and stuff like that. You're always going to think that the marketing space has like opened up. Mm. But also, like on the real though, like especially when you have a company as big as yours, what kind of skills do you need? Because people think that being creative is just about an idea and making sure that idea becomes successful. Mm. But it takes more than that, you know?
That's a beautiful question. People say I'm creative, and I'm saying, but what is that? What are you good at? So for me, and this is a very important question I always ask in any interview, at least if I'm sitting in that interview, it'll be, so what are you good at? So what do you do well? So generally, I want to gauge whether, are you a good writer?
Yeah.
Can you think conceptually? Mm. Are you a good project manager? Are you detailed oriented? Can you move projects forward? Because creativity, without it being channeled, it's a waste. So it needs people that know how to channel it and harness it into you write it or you manage it, you process it and things like that. So I think what I generally look for is, what are you going to be offering any company or anyone who works with you that they don't currently have? So from a creative point of view, you want to think about that in terms of, what is it that you're going to do for this particular company or for this particular individual that you can help them with, particularly from a creative point of view.
Wow.
Now, you had quite the power in or position when you were part of Nando's marketing back in 2006, which has come to define what is Nando's as we know today.
Mm.
I mean, were you 25 at the time, I believe?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was in my 20s.
Are we trying to take out his age now? Like, what are you trying to do?
I don't mind. It's always nice to, because sometimes you look back, you just think, oh my God, this is like a long time ago. Mm. Nando's was an amazing space because it allowed me to be more connected to what I love to do, which is really coming up with really great ideas and being able to do it in a space that allowed and that wanted to happen was amazing.
Mm.
It also was a space where I found myself more. I was very comfortable. And funny enough, I had been in advertising agencies before that. Mm. And I'd been very comfortable in that space. And moving into sort of marketing, a traditional marketing company, was actually quite an interesting shift for me. But it was a comfortable shift because I'd been working in advertising for many years before that. Mm. And it was a challenging thing. I mean, the CEO at the time, Kevin Utian, used to say to me, is it going to be a great ad campaign? Is it amazing? And I'd be like, yes, it is amazing. So you have to learn to believe and trust in your ability to deliver a cool idea on demand or when it's needed, and be able to manage a team and manage the advertising agencies that worked with us at the time to deliver on that great concept and campaign. It gave me confidence. It challenged me. Intensely made me sick sometimes and nervous because you were chattering into very different spaces. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Nando's allowed me to do that, I'm forever grateful for that opportunity. It has really become the watershed for how I do things and generally how I approach marketing.
How did you find your voice? I mean, and that's what I was trying to gauge there with the age. Like, you were quite young and you were in the space that you do still feel is slowly transforming, not fast enough.
Mm.
How did you find your voice and like, this is how I see things going? I want to be very creative in how things happen and that kind of approach.
I think it was a sort of a few things all coming together, I think, at the right time.
Mm.
Excuse me. And probably some divine intervention. Because I grew up very awkward, so I knew that I wasn't really like everyone, and I was a bit funny and strange. And of course, I had my own internal fears based on my sexuality.
Mm.
So I was very concerned about that, how people see me, how they view me. And so when I worked into a working environment, I almost, in a way, was ashamed of it. I was nervous and I was awkward, but I knew that I needed to overcome it. So somehow I found that when I was working in the creative space, that didn't matter because I was just being crazy and cool and creative. So it allowed me, I felt like, okay, I don't have to be weird and awkward here. My awkwardness is celebrated here. It's weird and it's cool that I'm weird. It works for me in this space. And your question was, where did I find my voice? I would say that when I started feeling more comfortable with who I was personally, and I wasn't feeling like my awkwardness was an issue, I felt more comfortable to voice my opinions at work, voice what I thought of, and without feeling like I would be either discriminated against, or it didn't matter to me what people thought and felt, as long as I felt comfortable and confident about what I wanted to do. I would say that's really where it started happening. But it takes time and it takes a lot of work personally to be able to get to a space where you're comfortable with yourself, and that you are able to let your true vibe, you know, stand out at work, so you don't feel like you are acting or you're bringing a different person to work.
All right. We're going to take a very small break and we're going to dive deeper into what it takes to really be a CEO.
Oh, come on!
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course, have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative, only on Times Live Motoring.
Right, welcome right back, guys.
Welcome back, Sylvester.
Now, Sylvester, you have had so many great positions in your life, and not all of them are necessarily within marketing. Now, you had the World Economic Forum where you...
World Economic Forum,
if I'm correct.
I just had to say that. I just had to repeat that. It's not just South African. It's the World Economic Forum.
A heck of an experience. What did you take from that?
Yes. I think I remember... The first time I got exposed to the World Economic Forum was in Ethiopia. And to be honest, I didn't think too much of it. You know, I registered and I was invited to attend. I was very lucky to be one of the people that could make it. Five of us from African from South Africa managed to get to that. And I arrived. And I was completely overwhelmed by just the sheer number of amazing leaders around us in one room. You wake up and you just think, oh my God, we're all in this room together. And in some instances, I felt like, okay, the world is big, but the world is small too, you know? And the fact that I was there felt like I needed to absorb as much as possible. So the experience was that you got to just, you know, stay woke, open your eyes, speak to a lot of people, engage a lot of people, attend as many sessions as possible, get to engage with people. So it was very, very helpful in opening up my ideas about or my expectation of what leadership is on the African continent. So it really helped me to shape how I fit in within the African context of leadership. But then when I went to Davos in Switzerland for the World Economic Forum, I remember I was sitting and I in a group of 50 of us, 50 global shapers from around the world, who all had to sit and introduce themselves. And we stand in a circle and we have to say who we are. And I remember thinking, oh my God, do I even belong in this group? You know, you've got these incredible scientists, this young, you know, deputy, sort of advisor to the president, who's under 25, you know, scientists. This one young individual had, you know, run a 500 million euro business in the United States and is, you know, is 28. And I was sitting there, I was thinking, oh my God. And I'm just Sylvester coming from Joburg, right? And it was quite something. And there was a moment where you feel somewhat intimidated, but excited about it. But you feel like, geez, how do I need to prove myself that I belong here. You know, I need to make sure that I also like pull it, you know, pull out the thinking and be woke and be engaged. So I wake up on time, read up everything, be aware and be engaging. And that was quite something too, because sometimes the exposure that you get in those platforms is so fulfilling for the individual because you're surrounded by the best of the best around the world. Therefore, you can only really sharpen yourself and walk out of it that much better, or with so many things you want to learn and grow. An amazing opportunity, probably an amazing highlight.
Wow. So with all that has happened in your life, like when you wake up in the morning, like, oh, you look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, Sylvester Chauke, like, how did I make it? Like, what's your answer? Like, what keeps on motivating you? Or how have you been motivated to just wake up? Because sometimes, you know, as people, like, I'm a fan of Sylvester Chauke, but you will see yourself and be like, ugh, I'm just an ordinary person and whatever. But not to find out that there's someone out there who is like dying over you, dying over your success, and they will want to be like you one day and just reach everything that you've done. Like, so when you wake up in the morning, how do you feel to be like,
how do you remember?
Wow. This is me. I've made it, you know?
And it's actually quite amazing, because what you're saying is so true. I don't look at myself in the mirror and think, oh, wow, you are like amazing, you know? Because I just think, there's so many really, really great men and women around the world that I know, you know? Yeah. So many great men and women who run companies so much bigger than mine. They do so much bigger things than I do. So I think that always keeps me in check to say, you know, you're not all that, you know? There's so much bigger things out there. And so you have to kind of calm down and wake up to yourself. But over time, I've gotten to appreciate that I must not take this for granted, you know? So understanding the fact that I may think of it as just being ordinary, but it's not so ordinary to someone else. So I've come to appreciate it when I hear it from people and say, you're an inspiration, or this is really cool, I love what you're doing, I model my company on yours, those kind of things. It makes me feel incredibly valued and valuable that not just by living my life in the way that I do is inspiring someone else to take something out of it. It's really incredible. But I mean, you say I made it. I'm like, oh, no, not at all. not yet. And I think, you know, I acknowledge that I've been blessed in many ways, right? And I don't take that for granted. But I do think that the minute you get too comfortable, that's definitely a very dangerous place to be. So I always know that I've got to do better. And I know that I've got so many other things to learn, and I'm open to learning them.
What has been the recipe, would you say, to not only finding talent for your own team, but also keeping it? Because you've got quite a formidable team.
I think I'm very blessed to have the right team. I think the environment creates some good leaders, and I'm very proud of that. DNA Brand Architects has had many people walk into its doors, and you will never walk out of it the same. And that's important. You will walk out of it so much better and so much greater. And for me, I've always understood that it's important that that takes place, particularly when you look at us brown kids. We need to make sure that, you know, we are very successful in every corner. So it is in my interest to ensure that everybody that walks in gets to learn as much as they need to. And if they stay long, great. If they don't, they step out. But I would like them to continue to be even greater out there so that I would have had a part to play in that success. I always look for hungry people that are desperately wanting to help their families, do good, but just really be brilliant and be buttoned up. And I think that's important, because I find that when that's there, we all have something to fight for.
True.
We all want to, you know, live a particular life, live better, make our families live better, support where we can, and ensure that we are assisting the network. Because ultimately, you know, a few people can make a huge difference. So I always see our team at DNA, and I always think of everybody else around us who's dependent on us to do well. And I get so excited every single time I have to sign off payroll, because I know that that's where it's going. You know, it's going to go straight to auntie, straight to mom, straight to dad, straight to the family. And it's really amazing to be part of that.
I have to give a few snaps in that one. I've never heard a boss say, I'm excited when I have to go like,
you know, a brown skin boss. That's like super amazing.
Because you know where it's going and you know what it's doing. Yeah, so true. That it becomes very, very exciting when you've got the right people on board. And I think that's very, very helpful. Because I know that it's not just about the company, but it's also what it does outside of its walls.
Now, one of the most common problems I find, or issues that people share, that when they start their own marketing business, that they struggle to find clients. Now, I know this is your forte and you get paid to do this, but what tips would you actually give for those people in terms of getting clients and keeping them?
That's actually a very good question. I find that everybody is looking for clients. Everybody. I mean, even the restaurants, they want you to come and buy their burgers more than the other competitors' burgers. So everybody's looking for money from someone. Mm. And I think what's interesting for me is generally there's always a question about track record. What have you done for someone else? What examples do you have of the work you've done? Mm. And I think that for me, that's always been a good formula. When you go into a company and you say, look at what I've done for company X, and this is what we've achieved for them, this is what we can achieve for you. It's always better than saying, hi, we're looking for a client. People must believe you because you know you've got a nice idea. No, everybody has a nice idea, but until you've proven it to someone that it is effective, that it has worked, it's only really when you can be able to use that to be able to get more clients. So how do you do that? I think number one is that let's not wait for clients to pay us or for paying clients. Proactively do work for people, write for a client, pro bono work for charities, for nonprofits. I think there's a lot that you can do to try to showcase, at least so that you've got some case studies or examples of some of the work or some of the clients that you've done. Mm. Until such time that you've got a client or clients that are sizable, that are good, it'll be very difficult for you to connect and find clients of that caliber. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So for me, even though I had been at Nando's and been at all the advertising agencies and MTV networks as director of marketing, I still, when I started DNA, people would walk into, I walk into a boardroom and people would say, who are you? And I'm like, but I'm sorry, Star. I've done work at no, and they'd be like, no, but what have you done in, under this company? Mm. They still wanted me to prove that I've got what it takes, that I'm not just a one-hit wonder, or that I did well because I was under a big international company.
Yeah.
So you always have to prove yourself. This morning, I went to a client, a new client. Second time, they're inviting us to come and present because they liked what we did before, but they now want to see it again, whether we can be able to deliver it. So I've got to go back and sell again. I've been in the business for a couple of years and I still have to sell today. Mm. So it's not, there's no such thing as it's locked in the,
it's locked.
It's not. You're always selling. Today I'm selling, tomorrow I'm selling. And it's a way of life. You have to keep selling.
Yeah. And then what kind of tips would you give to like also corporate companies? Because it does not really mean that corporate companies have got the best marketing departments.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So what kind of tips would you also give to them to like, if this could make your business a much greater business, the marketing department that you need to have is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm. Or these are the things you need to look at when you have a marketing department.
Unfortunately, most companies, and I'm actually tempted to say, you know, at least 60% of companies have got really bad marketing teams. And wow. it's a fact.
So you're going to say good?
No. It's bad. Wow. It's very, very bad.
Mm.
Old school, old thinking, old people. It's actually very challenging. People are not that connected to their consumers and they're not connected to what the business is looking for. So already because of that challenge, there's a lot of opportunities to be able to go and assist these marketing companies if they are open to it. You know, it's like if you think you are hot, you know, it's hard to, you know, if someone says, you know, comes to you and say, well, maybe your eyebrows are too high, you're not going to listen to them because you think you are happening. You know what I'm trying
yeah.
to say?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think it's most companies won't acknowledge that they're whack and that their marketing teams don't have very strong marketers. And in fact, I mean, I would argue that we have a very, 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 very high shortage of great marketers, and we need them. And that's why if you're listening and you are at Varsity, we need you. We need you. We need great marketers in this country. We don't have enough.
Yeah. Don't study it just for the piece of paper. You need to actually have the brains for it. You
need to have the interest for it and the love for it. So for, you know, being able to be obsessed with customers and consumers and how they buy and where they buy is something that you need to be very interested in.
Mm.
You know, like I love going to, you know, malls and seeing people shopping and seeing families hanging around at Mponyo Mall and things like that. Not because it's a job thing, but because I actually do enjoy seeing how people interact. And I think it's important that marketing departments expand themselves by partnering with agencies like ours and many others out there who can help them to expand their knowledge and expand their connections in the marketplace. Because until such time that you've been in a taxi, you know, you've gone shopping at Mponyo Mall, for an example, or gone shopping in a taxi, in a public taxi, for an example, if you haven't really experienced that, if you don't know it, no matter how lovely you are sitting in your lovely office as a marketer, you are not going to understand. You're going to miss some of the key nuances. So get people that live in that environment, that know this, that understand it. And that's why I find that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we won the campaign of the year for the Prisms for AB InBev for Lion Lager. Lion Lager, I mean, hello, it's not like the most glamorous brand in the world, right? Mm. But it was just like, because the team that worked on it understood the audience and they get it. There's empathy, there's understanding. So we don't have to try to sell it in a particular manner. So my point is really the expansion of the marketing teams in corporates. They need to interact with people and expand their network by partnering with people who know their customers much better than they do.
Calling all the marketers.
Calling all the marketers.
So Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. I think I learned, this was quite interesting and very informative view onto the marketing world.
You know how I feel about the marketing people, because everybody's just doing marketing in university. But I'm like, should everyone do marketing? But today I feel like I've got the inside scoop of what marketing is all about.
Definitely, definitely. Mm.
And there's an opportunity for it. There is a need. There is a need for it. And I think the more we get the right people coming into the space who are very hungry and active, who want to participate and grow it, the better for us as an industry.
I love that. Make sure to share your opinions as well with our Instagram, our Twitter at Sebenza Live. And Sylvester, maybe they can add you as well. What's your follow?
Where at
can
Sylvester Chauke on Twitter, on Instagram.
Perfect.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.